If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
What is going on? How is everybody, man? It's your boy Dale Lippin in here, but none other than Trey Van Buskirk. Trey Van Buskirk, how are you?
I've been better.
You've been better. The last time I talked to you, you were calling me or asking me to call you at midnight because you had some investment ideas that you wanted me to deep dive with you on. Does that sound about right?
This is not like comedic by any means. This is real talk right now. Why do the best investment ideas always come to you when you're like 10 beers deep and you're just hanging out with your brother?
Because your brain, I agree with this. I think some of the most insightful conversation, I think some of the world's problems or most of the world's problems could just be solved by some dudes sitting around a fire drinking some beer. And I think what happens is it unlocks that part of your brain that constantly tells you you're in like a modern day, like survival setting.
Right.
Like, right. You realize there's safety in numbers. You realize there's this ability to just let your guard down in the brain for whatever reason, whether it's your, what do they call that? Your pineal gland or whatever the case may be, just sort of pumps that good idea elixir and just lets it loose, bro.
Okay, hold on. I need to unpack that for a second. Yep. My pineal gland. You're referring to my penis.
Nope.
And then you said pumped. Yep. So I'm pumping my penis, and that's where the good ideas come from.
It could be. I mean, how often have you just been sitting there, sort of like rolling the boys around in your fingers, you know, and just gotten a good idea? You know what I mean? Just kind of. Just, you know, playing the little violin on the boys, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a learning doctor, but I know what the pineal gland is.
It's the thing that's calcified by the fluoride that they put in the water. They're trying to dumb us down and make us slaves to the machine, bro.
You know what? Being that we are an MMA podcast, I feel like we should sometimes. I feel like we should inject into this podcast a little bit of like, I don't know, health related stuff. Oh, I want to ask you if you think this is healthy at all, because you keep talking about the fluoride in the water.
Yeah, 100% not healthy.
For the longest time I can remember, Dale, mm-hmm. I'm the type of guy that I must be 80 years old. I wake up in the middle of the night and I just go over to the sink and I take probably a gallon drink of sink water before I go back into the bed.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
Well, isn't that where the fluoride is?
Yeah, unless you have a filter that specifically removes the fluoride from your water, you're going to get it no matter where you're drinking it.
Yeah, so I don't understand why that's a big deal, though, because there's fluoride in toothpaste, and that makes you look good.
It makes you look good, but you can also get tooth powder that doesn't have fluoride in it and works just as well.
Oh, that's like that. Don't say that. That's like that Sprouts Tom brand, and your breath smells like shit. Does your breath smell like shit?
My breath does not. I am a minty fresh freaking Hungarian god when I blow this peppermint all over you.
Oh, that's good. Oh, I caught it.
Yeah. Look, here we go. Matt, come on. Check this out. I mean, you can't even bring this up. Look, fluoride fucks with your pineal gland. I stopped ingesting it and I've started dreaming again. Exactly. Let me put it this way. If you're over the age of 25 and you don't wake up rock hard full mast, stop ingesting fluoride, stop with your fluoride toothpaste, and you'll go back to getting the dreams you got when you were 13, 14, 15 years old again.
Wow. Yeah. Learn something every day.
I'm telling you there, we got away from talking about this. Go outside and sun your balls, put some freaking UV rays on the boys. It will change everything. It's a game changer.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't have to be a lot. 15 minutes, two times a week, get some vitamin D on your bees. That's all you do.
All right. There you go. There's the health injection we needed.
That's the injection. That's right. All right. Bro, we had a great week last week. Yeah.
Well, you downplay it.
We did.
We've been in a rough spot, but last week we grabbed our pineal glands and we said, we own that card.
Yeah. Okay. This, I don't know anybody that's doing well this year. Like, no. I don't know a lot of people that are just like, oh, I'm killing the MMA game this year. There's a couple. I do want to, I don't say I don't know anybody. There's a couple people that are doing fairly well this year. But by and large, I think most of your prominent people in this space aren't having like banner years. They're having great cards here and there, but I don't think anybody's going, I'm smashing 80% like they used to.
No, absolutely not.
2022 has been tough.
It's been tough. It's been tough. And the people that are smashing it, they're going heavy chalk, dude. That's just not our speed.
That's not our speed. Yeah. That's not our style, but yeah, we went 9-1. We had one miss. What was the one miss? It was probably one of the fights I picked. It was probably one of my plays.
Was one of your plays.
Yeah, I bet it was. Let me find it real quick. Yeah. What didn't hit last week? It was.
See, it's interesting because you send out about 500 plays as if we're going to war. I'm like a doctor, the learned doctor, dude. I send you three plays that are just surgical.
Yeah.
And they all hit.
Fokhradidinov, TKO sub. That's the one that missed.
He fucked us.
He went out and he blew his wad first round. He went out there swinging like a crazy person, no technique, got tired, and then just had to wrestle to stay alive. I mean, ultimately got the unanimous decision, but it was ugly. It was a fuck.
No, sir, I won't have it. I won't have it.
Yeah, we were close a couple times, but he just really didn't have much killer instinct. Jeff Molina, Moneyline, an absolute gift. An absolute gift from the MMA gods. Even Molina thought he lost that fight. As long as Zolmogulov won that fight, let's just be clear.
That is agreed, 1,000%. But you're burying the lead, sir.
Okay,
I know what you're doing there.
I'm going down our thing.
No, you're not.
Yes, I literally have our card pulled up. I was just going down from the top.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring in the controversy of Molina.
Oh, the freaking gay stuff on the shorts. Yeah. Who cares about that? Okay. You want to say something about it before I say something?
No, I don't. I just felt like you were baiting it. And now, go ahead, good sir.
No, first of all, I'm calling bull. I'm calling bull. Nobody was messaging him anti-gay stuff. It's 2022. To be honest with you, the only people – how careful do I want to be here?
We have stayed at the same amount of Instagram followers because we've been shadow banned for the past 2.5 years. So, whatever.
Okay. The idea of the word homophobic would indicate that I'm scared of you for being gay or something about you being gay makes me uncomfortable. That's just not true at all. To be honest with you, I personally exist in a more, despite my foul mouth, in a more conservative and traditional style household and way of life. I don't particularly care how you like to get your rocks off. It doesn't bother. It doesn't care. I don't care about that one bit. Our attorney for this show that our LLC is filed under, she has a wife and is a great friend of mine. I don't care anything about what her and her wife do in the context of their own home. It matters not to me whatsoever. I don't care. Now, that is a level of indifference, not a level of like prejudice. I just don't care, in the same way that I don't care what you and your wife do in the context of your own home. It doesn't matter to me at all. As long as you're not being like domestically abused, I don't care about what you do in your house at all. It really doesn't matter to me at all. And even if you did, if I didn't know, it wouldn't be any of my business. So this idea that you have to go out and you feign courage so that you can receive adoration for oppression that doesn't exist, that's what I have a problem with. Everybody so badly wants to be oppressed so that they can feel courageous, so they can feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves, whether it be this movement or another movement. It's just, it's nonsense. It's like this idea of wanting to be brave when you haven't done anything worth bravery. I don't buy into it. And all that to say about Jeff Molina, it's bullshit. Nobody was messaging that dude going, oh, I can't believe you wore the rainbow shorts. Nobody even knew he was wearing rainbow shorts. It wasn't, nobody paid attention to that. It's literally your name on the side. You wore the Muay Thai shorts with the slit. Your name was cut in half. Nobody paid attention to it whatsoever. Nobody paid attention. Nobody cares. It literally nobody cares. They want to fake this narrative that everybody's out there looking for stuff to go, what about this? And what? Nobody cares, Jeff. And you're just bringing that on yourself. You're bringing that on yourself by creating a faux situation that never happened. It's nonsense. It's nonsense.
It's nonsense. No one should give a shit what anyone else's speed is. Great example, Dale, real quick. Went to work today. I've been doing a lot of these like offsite meetings, so I need like some type of tablet or a computer. I'm not going to bring my whole laptop. So took this to work today.
Nice.
It's okay. Amazon Fire 7 kids tablet with a pink bumper around it.
I have one of those.
Yeah. And granted, there's like every Frozen movie downloaded on it, but I was able to get my emails done. I owned it like a boss. I was like, yeah, this is my fucking iPad. You got a problem with it? I didn't think so. Let's close this deal, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they walked away and I said, good day, sir.
I said, good day. I have one of those in, I have two of those in blue and one in pink. So
there you go.
Those things are
very convenient.
Who cares? Who freaking cares?
Who cares?
That's what I'm saying. So Jeff Molina, you're faking controversy to take away from the fact that you were gifted a fight. You're absolutely gifted a fight. Carolina came back and won a fight.
God. And you know what? KK's I don't want to bring in like a love story into this at all, but the drama and her falling to her knees and sobbing after it just, it touched my heart a certain way, Dale. It did. It really pulled at the strings.
Yeah, well, your muscle babe retired too. There was a lot going on there. That was a roller coaster of a fight. Carolina wins after dropping five in a row, and then your muscle babe Felice Herrig immediately retires.
It's insane. I literally went from like pineal glands to like full on notebook status. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Fakhretdinov won, but he did so in unconvincing fashion. You want to talk about your horrific Alonzo Menafield take?
Yes. Yes.
You want to just.
Well, I didn't. You see frauds better than me. You called it a fraud from the start. You know, the tan photos showed one thing. You were right, dude. What am I going to say? You were right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Gunner says he absolutely wasn't gifted a fight. He won that 29-28 clearly. Okay. Cool. The word robbery is just in the lexicon of coming out. I scored the fight for Zlogus, right? Basically what happened with Molina and Zlogus Umagulov is the same thing that happened with Ketlin Vieira and Holly Holm. It was almost an identical, it was an identical fight. You had one person with significantly more strikes, another one with significant more control time. Like Ketlin Vieira vastly outstruck, if I'm not mistaken, I'm about to get roasted here if I'm wrong. Ooh. I can't remember. I believe Ketlin had more.
If you can't remember, just go uber confident with it, Dale.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ketlin Vieira completely outstruck Holly Holm, but Holly Holm had more cage time or clinch time or vice versa. Whatever, doesn't matter. I mean, listen, I have no problem. I'm stuttering on my words here. 30-27 for Molina is an all-time bad card. That's an all-time bad scorecard. 30-27 is an all-time bad card. All right. Joe Selecki, the other gift.
Great. Fantastic.
The point being taken basically saved Joe Selecki. I don't know, man. That was a bad fight. Trezano Almeida inside the distance. Boy, we said a play for Almeida was a play inside the distance, or a play inside the distance was a play for Almeida, and that came to fruition.
It almost happened in round one right off the rip, dude.
And in round two. I mean, people were like, Trezano can't finish him. We had exchange drops in round one and round two, and then ultimately the end coming. Silva by TKO sub. We called sub on the show, but switched it TKO sub inside the distance when we went through our final breakthrough or breakdown right before we signed off, and that paid dividends, plus 260. Big hitter there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. By the way, I'm scratching my nose a lot. I did not do any like booger sugar or anything, but man, it itches. So if you're seeing this on the live stream right now, my apologies. There's just something going on. It itches like a motherfucker.
It's because you're old and you're getting a lot of nose hair now.
No. That's your speed, dude.
That's you. That's you. Ode Osborne, Zaruk Adashev. Ode slept him first, 15 seconds? Bad. Yeah. Real bad.
Yeah, real bad.
And then we hit on the Menafield TKO sub. prop as well, minus 180. Again, gift, an absolute gift. I text you beforehand and I said this Alonzo Menifield line and TKO sub prop is going to be one that we're going to look back on and wish we told people to just absolutely unload on. And he went out and dominated from pillar to post, put him in a crucifix and just exposed him for the fraud that he is.
Yeah. It's
wonderful.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Sure. Yeah. Anything else happened this weekend?
No.
All right. Well, before we get into breaking down UFC Singapore, UFC 275 taking place this Saturday night, Singapore, I just want to remind you guys, one, it's going to be taking place at a normal time, which is wild. And then two, we are not doing anything for the road to UFC events. It's just complete degen action, betting on a bunch of Chinese national fighters that we have no idea who they are or what they do. I mean, I'm all for degen action if you want to get after it, but don't message us asking us who's going to win. I have no idea. I don't know who these people are. It's of no consequence to me whatsoever. I will say this. If you want something worthwhile to do on Saturday, if you're not watching that, you can absolutely fire up the grill and use some steak classy meats. I had some Italian sausages last weekend. It was absolutely fantastic. Do some chicken breasts as well. The kids ate good. I ate good. The wife ate good all weekend long. Got all that from Steak Classy Meats. Go to steakclassymeats.com and use promo code FISH. You can save 10% site wide.
When you were, I didn't know. So the time for UFC 275 is actually like standard for what would it be here domestically if it was at the Apex.
I think it's at 6 o'clock. I think is when things are getting kicked off. I'm not. Let me verify. Go ahead and do your.
No, that's insane though, stuff. Because I was thinking about the. Do you call them the Singaporeans?
Maybe the Singers.
The Singers. No fucking way. It's the Singers. If it's the Singers, then wow.
It's not the Singers. No, 6:30 is when the first prelim fight starts.
That's amazing. So what time is that for the Singers?
I have no idea. I don't know how to do the.
Okay. Well, you know, Singers, whatever. For us Americans who will be rocking American clothing, you want to wave the American flag, not the Singer flag. Go to legendsclothing.com, type in the code PUNCH. You're going to get 15% off site-wide. All right, Dale. UFC 275 with the Singers people. A lot of names that I'm really excited for you to pronounce tonight because, God, you're going to butcher it.
Nah, dude, I'm doing great, man. First prelim of the evening taking place. We got our boy back. Jack Della Maddalena taking on Ramazan Amiev. Amiev at 20-5. Della Maddalena at 11-2. Boy, oh boy, buddy. Let's get after this, right? We've got producer Jake just ripping bowls in the back here. I mean, just having a time.
We just started laughing.
No,
God, it's not even the right fight. Damn it,
dude. Still not even the right fight. What are you doing? Jack Della Maddalena.
There.
Hey, Ramazan Amiev. What's up? All right. Everybody in the chat, what's going on? MMA locker room, what's going on, buddy? All right. Goodness gracious. All right. Maddalena at a minus 150, Amiev at a plus 130. Look, this is interesting, right? This is a step up, obviously, in competition for Della Maddalena. The boxing has looked fantastic, but we've got a different sort of animal right here in Ramazan Amiev. He's going to come in. We know he's all torso, no legs. And he's going to come out there and try to put that slug body on him and wrestle him. The cardio will fail if he can't get it done in the first half of the fight. So what does Della Maddalena look like as the fight progresses? Our boys over at the Run It Back podcast are insanely confident with Jack Della here and say he's going to run through Amiev. Do you feel the same way?
I feel like it's a little bit of a tough matchup. I will say for like a Russian grappler type style in Ramazan Amiev, he's not a very good grappler. He's just not. He's not good at actually cinching and holding a takedown. Someone that has relative good takedown defense or get up defense is able to get out of Amiev's half guard or even like, you know, almost like a half mount. He doesn't hold as tight. He doesn't cinch down. So I think Jack, even if he does get taken down, he has an opportunity to get back up and exercise that boxing. If this goes to decision, you know, fantastic. Obviously, the output's going to be there with Jack. Ramazan is someone that is literally going to put everything into a clinch heavy work, try and get a couple takedowns, going to drain the cardio tank in that first round. And this is Jack's fight to lose in the later rounds. So, yeah, I'm there with the volume. I think this is a fair price, actually. I feel like the money should come a little bit heavier on Jack, given you know, a Meave's not that great standing affair.
What I think is interesting, it's kind of be the like the first. I mean, I guess Danny Roberts would fancy himself a boxer. So outside of maybe the Danny Roberts fight, which Ameev lost, but that was a split decision. You know, David Zawada, I guess, you know, we'll throw him in the striker category. Nicholas Stolze, and then a loss to Anthony Rocco Martin. Not really the level of hands that we're going to see out of Jack Della here. So I think we're going to get some interesting action, some exchanges, some prices that I'm interested in this fight more than anything else here, Trey, is that you can get fight won't start round two and fight that won't start round three at plus money. So fight won't start round two, you can find at plus 350. So if you think Jack's going to start quick and be crispy, or you think that his submission defense game might be lacking, might be something to consider. And then fight won't start round three. That gives you both men, both action, and you can get that at plus 160. Five Dimes has that even at plus 200. So not a bad look there. And then Madalena by KO TKO is available at plus 320, which I think, if I'm being honest, is his path to victory here. The hands look good.
You know what I feel really safe about? What's does not start round three?
Plus 160.
Plus 160. I love that, dude. Not only are you getting a Ramazan who's going to just blow his load in that first round, but you're also going to get the adrenaline dump of being in front of the singers, dude. I like that. I also like that extra 5 minutes. I'm all about it.
All right, so fight doesn't start round three, plus 160, you think?
I like it, dude. Okay. I like it. Right.
What about a little sprinkle on Jack by KO?
Dude, are you kidding me?
We'll think about it. Let's just think about it. Let's put a pin in it. You want to pencil it and circle back?
Yo, I would never use that verbiage because you know, fuck that.
Dude, you are Mr. Corporate now. You literally are going, I had to take my, I need a tablet for my offsite visits.
Bro, you just tried to Pizaki me, and you know I don't align with that. You just tried to Jen Pizaki me, dude, and I don't appreciate it at all.
Circle back?
Yeah, how dare you?
I've been circling back with people way before Jen Pizaki.
No, she trademarked that, and now if you use it, you know.
If you use it, she visits you in the middle of the night and sucks a little bit of your soul out of your nostrils.
At night, because she doesn't walk in the day. She's not a day walker.
She's not a day walker. They have to put special fluorescent lights wherever she goes, because if it's real UV, she'll catch on fire.
Can't concur.
Okay. Never heard that before. I believe it's I concur. But yeah, whatever you said works too. All right. Ruggiero Bonterin at 16-4, taking on Manel Capp at 17-6. To be honest with you, Trey, this is probably the fight I'm the most torn on.
Well, because what type of cap are you going to get?
Yeah. Bonterin's at a plus 190 here, which seems like insane value against Manel Capp coming in at a minus 225, over on rounds being at 2.5. This, historically speaking, what we have found in the post-COVID era that Brazilians don't travel well. The more time zones Brazilians have to cross over, the more poorly they perform. And Ruggiero Bonterin, I don't know if he's living in Brazil still or not. Doesn't matter. I'm just calling him Brazilian for the sake of calling him Brazilian here.
Sick.
He is, you know, that's one thing that I'm looking at. But also just the weird inconsistency of Manel. It's like, when he's on, he's one of the best in the world. But when he takes the fight off, he's like a Yoel Romero. He's like a little Yoel Romero. He just lives in really exciting bursts. And then outside of that, you're like, why do I like this guy again? Yeah. I'm not really sure why I like this guy. Oh, and then he's terrifyingly scary and fast, but then he's boring. Like, oh man, why do I like this guy again? So I think there's something interesting about this fight. It's definitely a slow versus fast dynamic. Thinking maybe inside the distance might be a play here, because I like Bonterin. I like Bonterin's sub game, and I like Manel to be able to utilize the bull rush of Bonterin against him, because he's a fantastic counter fighter, and maybe snuff him a little bit, just get him out of there.
I don't like that. I don't like that because Dude, when Manel Cape came over to the UFC, he was one of those few fighters that I was like, oh, shit, dude.
Yes, finally.
Get ready. This is like, it almost had this like Davison Figueiredo like mystique to it. Like this kind of like badass villain coming in that's just going to like fuck shit up, right? Mm. But then what did he do? He stood in the pocket and just stared. He watched the fight unfold. He never actually engaged. So, you know, we have seen him, you know, he did that two fights in a row. And I think on his third fight, he kind of said, all right, fuck it. Like my back's up against the wall. I got to prove myself in a new promotion here. So what, he goes out and like murders. Was it like Ode Osborne or something like that? Like flying knee. Dude, those are the type of things I want to see, the explosion. I want to see that. You know, even when he is throwing and he can be devastating, he gets caught more so watching the fight unfold, which makes me want to lean later into the fight. Dude, exactly what you said, man. What type of Manel are you going to get? I think he's the one that's going to win this fight. And I feel safest at a money line play. Not safe enough to put him into parlay. So I'm really going to avoid this fight at all costs. Because minus 225, what am I going to do?
Bonterine hasn't beaten anybody the caliber, like hasn't beaten anybody of the caliber of Manel Cap. Hasn't beaten anybody. Like his wins, at least inside the UFC, Matt Schnell, Julian Paiva, and Magomed Bublyatov. That's it.
Say that last name again.
I think it's Bublyatov.
Michael Bublé. Is that what you said?
He beat Michael Bublé, Julian Paiva, and Matt Schnell. The same Matt Schnell that was on an MTV show. That's who Rogerio Bonterin's beat. But he's big. He's muscular. He's got good subs. He hits hard. You know, it depends. He could get weird here against Manel, but you talked me into it, dude. I think Manel Cap might be the play here.
Yeah.
That might be the play here. Austin, late to the program, says, how much of the fights have we actually gotten into? Bro, two. We're two in. The pacing's terrible here. So you're good.
Hey, do you think that Michael Bublé is the modern day Frank Sinatra?
He wants to be. He wants to be. He would be rock hard if he heard you say that. That's exactly what he wants. He wants to croon. I mean, Would you be more so to put him like with a Frank Sinatra or like a Dean Martin kind of guy?
Wasn't Dean Martin black?
Nope, that was Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay, then possibly.
Who were there four members in the Rat Pack?
Sammy Davis Jr., Dean. Yeah. I was about to say Dean Spanos.
Nope, don't know who that is.
He's the surfer, the owner of the Chargers.
Dean Martin.
Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Wasn't Elvis at one point?
No, Elvis was not part of the Rat Pack.
Okay.
There's five members of the Rat Pack? Producer Jake, who are they? What are you waving me in? No, you come in.
He says five with his hands, but then he doesn't even have it. How do you know that, but you don't know off the top of your head?
He's literally screaming at you off screen. Nobody gets
flipping out right now.
He's so furious. What's your favorite Frank Sinatra song while he's looking that up?
New York, New York.
Really?
It has to be.
Why? Why does it have to be?
Because if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And that's kind of been my entire life.
But have you ever been to New York?
I think once.
Right. So why does that resonate with you at all?
Well, because it's just more of like an analogy for life. You know what I mean?
No, I don't understand that. So if you can make it in Des Moines, Iowa, you can make it anywhere?
Possibly. What's yours?
Fly Me to the Moon.
Because of GameStop?
No, because I think it's just a good song, man.
Huh, okay.
It's a good song. You don't like Fly Me to the Moon?
No, I mean, it's a great song. It's just, I don't know. New York, New York, so much more powerful. I mean, do you watch The Ball Drop?
Sometimes. All right. Producer Jake says the Rat Pack was an informal group of entertainers, the second iteration of which ultimately made films and appeared together in Las Vegas casino venues. They originated in the late 40s and early 50s as a group of A-list show business friends such as Errol Flynn, Nat King Cole, Mickey Rooney, Frank Sinatra, and others who casually met at the Holmby Hills home of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. In the 1960s, the group featured Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and Joey Bishop.
So it was four, Producer Jake.
Thoughts and prayers to Joey Bishop, because I've never heard that man's name before. I've never heard. Do you know any name one Joey Bishop song?
Who is that?
Exactly. All right. Let's see here. Dude, we got a rematch on our hands for the next fight. You know that,
right? I know. Can you read the odds real quick? I ran out of cut water and we're only three fights in. It's going to get loopy this episode.
Yeah, man. Cool. Do what you got to do. We got a rematch on our hands, folks. Oh, gosh. Arguably one of the greatest fights of all time, if not the greatest women's fight of all time. We get a rematch. Zhang Weili at 21-3 taking on Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I just want to call her Joanna champion. Maybe she's just champion in my heart. Champion in our hearts. Joanna champion. 16-4. She is the underdog here. We are getting Joanna champion at underdog money. If you're telling me that I get to play Joanna Jędrzejczyk at plus money, I get to employ women's science on Joanna Jędrzejczyk all day, every day. I'm taking it plus 140 against Zhang Weili. Zhang Weili got the short haircut now. She ain't doing nothing. She's literally just lost. She's a boat adrift in a Chinese sea, not sure where to go, what to do. She just chilling. She literally, Rose got in her head, flipped her upside down. Joanna Jędrzejczyk plus money. Come on, bro. Come
Dale,
on.
Dale, what about ring rust, bro? It's been 2 years.
Chat says Joanna going to get her shit beat. Literally post on IG going to the beach every other week. Weili is literally pure muscle mass. Yeah. I will say that there is a little bit about that, but what's Joanna supposed to do? She lives in South Beach. Is she supposed to literally just live inside the gym? You live at the beach. What good is living at the beach if you don't go to the water?
That's true. But her beach buddy is Jazari, dude, and they're just smoke show of the jiu-jitsu game, you know? So they're just out there just training, dude. You know what I mean?
She's friends with Jazari.
Yeah.
Matura.
Yeah. I didn't want to say her last name because I can't do it and I'm gonna look like an amateur.
Is it Matuda?
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. Does it
cannot
matter?
Confirm.
Cannot confirm. Cannot concur. yeah, dude. I don't know, man. Joanna plus money, man. I don't care about ring rust. That doesn't bother me at all. She's from Poland. Doesn't bother me at all. She's from Poland too, so she's used to making that flight.
Okay.
Are you on Zhang Weili here?
Well, I mean, what? She's 2-2 in her last four since that fight. She's been more active, but like you said, she's carrying a lot of mental baggage, dude. Sometimes consistency is good. Other times it's not good because you start to understand more flaws about your games, areas for improvement. Joanna has literally been circling and looking back at film for the past 2 years, centrally focused on one fight that she's getting back here. She sees the one flaw that she had in that fight, which, by the way, I think Joanna won that fucking fight. I don't care. I'll fucking say it. So I think the output, the cardio, the style that she presents, and to be honest, Weili, dude, she's been dropped a couple times. She's fragile, dude. She's fragile.
How about the idea that Joanna is 1-1 in rematches throughout her career, with the exception of Valentina Shevchenko and Muay Thai fights where Valentina beat her up all the time? So like MMA, she's 1-1 as far as rematches go.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to put any weight into that at all?
No.
Okay. What makes you think? I mean,
ATT
is in a bad spot right now.
I know. That's what I was gonna say. They kind of suck right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, how about your girl KK credited Joanna with helping her get ready for the Felice Herrig fight?
Mm.
Said without Joanna, she wouldn't have been there and wouldn't have won. So maybe Joanna taking a more analytical, big brain approach to fighting, pouring into others. What do you think?
KK beat an over the hill
muscle baby.
Broadly broadcasted, I'm retiring fighter. Like that was the lock of all locks.
I don't think Joanna has the one punch power to get Weili out of there. I don't know, man. I really want to play women's science on every women's underdog this week. I really do. I know that means going against Valentina, but I mean, it's huge money. There's so many good plus money spots on women this week.
Stop rubbing your leg like that, dude. You get so excited with women's underdogs.
I literally have the knees of an 88-year-old man, and if I want to rub my knee because it's humid here, I'm going to rub my freaking knee. So if
you haven't been rubbing it the entire episode, but when we're talking about women's underdog, you just start stroking away, dude.
You know what's crazy is I have a foot massage machine underneath my desk here that I could turn on right now that would literally rub my feet while we do this show.
You are 80 years old, for sure. I am.
You realize how poorly I've treated my body throughout the years? Like, every single time I had a doctor say, you shouldn't play this week, or you should take it easy, I was like, that is for sissies. I will never do that. And then ultimately, now, when I'm nearing 40 years old, everything hurts. Everything hurts, man. It all sucks.
I feel like if I came to your house, it would have all the old man like attributes. It would have like the clap on, clap off lights.
I don't have like, those, unfortunately.
You'd have all those like those slippers that are like therapeutic, meant for like 90-year-olds.
I don't wear slippers because we have hardwood floors in the house, so slippers are really slippery, and then I'll fall. So I don't want to wear that because then I'll hurt my hip.
You're a robe guy, though. You're definitely a robe guy.
Definitely not a robe guy. I'm a basketball short, no underwear guy.
Oh, nice, dude.
Yeah, bro. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you see my outline, and dude. I hang brain constantly.
That's good.
Oh, man. Take krill oil. Yeah, I could. I could take krill oil. I heard it's a wonder drug, but I'm just not there yet, man. I used to do fish oil for a long time, and it made me burp a lot. says Dale repping Copperfit. Yeah, bro, dude. we're trying to get sponsored by Copperfit. If we can get Tommy Copper, we'll drop allegiance just like that. If I can get some free Tommy Copper.
Who else is on Copperfit's ambassador list? It's pretty heavy hitters, dude.
I think isn't Brett Favre on there?
Brett Favre, yeah. Yeah, to Keith's point, I could definitely get you on some roids back from the college days, dude.
For sure, dude.
That my roommate was on.
Yeah. You got a little HGH hanging out somewhere that I can get, rebuild some tendons here. All right. Women's title fight is the co-main event of the evening. Valentina Shevchenko at 22-3, taking on Talia Santos at 19-1. Wide lines here, Trey, probably unbettable for the most part from a money line perspective. -550 for Valentina, as high as -600 in some spots, and Talia Santos at a +400, as high as +450 in some spots. Over under on rounds is at 3.5. Traps set everywhere. Vegas wants all of your money and they want it now. Where do you take this fight? How do you play this? What are you thinking when you see this?
I'm actually quite shocked. I've obviously not seen these lines since producer Jake put them in. Mm-hmm. This line came down significantly, Dale. I'm pretty sure it opened at a -710 for Valentina.
It's possible. She's good.
So people are a little bit scarred, obviously, from like a freaking Amanda Nunes, Juliana Pena type thing. A little sprinkle on the underdog here in a massively one-sided fight. Talia Santos is one path to victory, everyone knows, is kind of that clinch-heavy attack, kind of lay and pray. But the thing is, she's a thick chick. That's like the only way she's going to win this. Do you think that Valentina, she's not going to stand? What?
She's going to bang. She's going to stand and bang.
She knows her one path to victory is keeping this fight in a clinch like distance. Like, she needs to push this up against the cage, lay, pray, not let Valentina do anything to generate space, get that outside jab working at all. Mm-hmm. The thing is, Valentina's fantastic on the ground. Just no one's actually been able to close the distance. So either way you look at this, whether she does close the distance or she decides to stand and bang, dude, let me bang, she's going to get fucking pieced up, dude. This is a stupid fight. This is literally the UFC going, hey, okay, you know, here's another fucking, you know, meat to the lion. We're just going to throw it in there. Mm-hmm. This is just so stupid. They need to either, I don't know what they need to do with this division, but it's fucking bullshit all the way around. No one will title contend against Valentina Shevchenko in our lifetime.
You know what the vibe is here? Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva won. You literally just described Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva 1. Anderson Silva literally beats everybody. There's no one left for him to fight. So they take the only person that's on a win streak against anybody decent, and they go, you get the fight for the belt. And everybody goes, there's no way on planet Earth that Anderson Silva is going to lose. There's just no way that's going to happen. And Anderson's talking about what he's going to do after he beats Chris Weidman and wanting to box Roy Jones Jr. and all these other things that he wanted to do. Maybe I'll move up to light heavyweight and fight John Jones, right? All these things were happening. He goes out there and he gets slept. What is Valentina talking about? Oh, the women's bantamweight division is wide open now with Amanda and Juliana. Maybe I will become a double champ. Maybe I will move up and fight. Oh, but you know, Talia Santos is pretty good. I'll fight her in Singapore. I don't care. I'll travel the world. I'm a Russian spy. Well, blah, blah, blah. You better be taking Talia Santos very seriously here, because this has got shades of Anderson versus Chris Weidman written all over it. And I'm telling you, I don't feel in my heart of hearts that this is going to be a walkthrough. It seems ridiculous. All right, bro. All
right, bro. Man. When she came into the UFC, who did she lose to? Mara Borella.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Someone that loses to Mara Borella is going to come in and beat Valentina Shevchenko.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Trey. She's had a little bit of a momentum run. She's beating people like Jillian Robertson. Yep. and sorry. She's faced vets, Trey. She's seen people that have actually have seen the game, seen the quality of competition. Roxanne Modafferi. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then JoJo Wood. Give me a fucking break, dude.
You love JoJo.
The quality of competition is not even the same stratosphere. Okay. And who she has beat, who she has lost to. This is so dumb. Do not make a case for it. I'm saving you. Let's please move to the next fight. This is retarded.
How are you going to play this fight? Tell people how to bet this fight then.
Valentina inside the distance.
Inside the distance. All right. Valentina inside the distance. Let me get you odds on it, since that's what you want to play.
It's probably still like a minus 300. But me likey, because you know what? I like knowledge is power and intellect.
What? Shevchenko inside the distance plus 130.
Oh, women's underdog. We defined this last episode. Technically a prop on a heavy favorite at plus money is women's underdog. It's science. We take it. We run.
I don't think that's the way that works. I know we said that, but I don't feel like it works that way. Valentina is the best female fighter in MMA history. In my opinion, only losses are to other women who could claim that title. Amanda's up weight class, and one of the losses was a toss-up. I agree.
Yeah.
Nothing I'm saying takes away from that.
That's juicy, dude. It's so juicy. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. I came up with that. That was Trey.
Okay. All right. A few moments later.
Don't you SpongeBob me. Don't you.
Main event of the evening. Glover Teixeira, 33-7, taking on Jiří Procházka at 28-3-1. The champ is an underdog. Plus 175 to the challenger, Jiří Procházka, to minus 205. Jiří is death incarnate. He is a destroyer of worlds. He is violence personified. He is also incredibly stupid.
Oh.
And fights like an absolute moron. And while that relentless pressure and knockout power and unorthodox nature will get him legions of fans, and at this point, dozens of victories, the one thing it will not get him is an undisputed title on Saturday night. Glover Teixeira is going to win this fight.
Can confirm.
Glover Teixeira is going to win this fight. Glover Teixeira, his boxing is too good and it is too crisp.
Don't agree with that.
Hold on. I'm marking down.
That was a stupid comment.
Glover Teixeira's boxing is too good is a stupid comment?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
It's not that it's Sure, it's good in its own lane, but dude, it is so black and white. He does the same shit every single time he strikes, dude.
Fundamentals win championships.
No, no, you got to evolve.
Evolution. No, you don't.
Yes, you do. You got to show different looks. His combinations are the exact. You literally have a guy
who is 47 years old, only knows how to box in the most basic sense, and does jiu-jitsu, and he's a world champion.
Dude,
you don't need to evolve. Evolution is bullshit.
You got to give different looks. You got it. The blueprint is there. The blueprint for Glover Teixeira as it relates to his striking is there. It's the well-rounded game that presents a completely different puzzle piece. And that is his ability to get fights to the ground and be dominant with that jiu-jitsu.
Your opinion. I'm asking you what your opinion is. Without being funny, the three greatest fighters of all time, your opinion, go.
Hoist Gracie, Uriah Faber.
Come on, without being funny.
It's not funny, dude. That's a real thing.
You think Uriah Faber is the second greatest combat sports athlete that's ever lived on the planet Earth? Don't do that.
All right, fine.
Number one.
Hoist Gracie. Hoist Gracie, Matt Hughes. Dude, it's Uriah Faber.
What evolution did any three of those men display? What evolution? You literally said the three greatest fighters of all time, in your opinion. Did any of them evolve at all? No. None. None of them showed new looks. None of them evolved. None of that. None of that. Glover Teixeira has great boxing. Glover Teixeira hits like a truck. His freaking chin is made of adamantium. He is reversing. He's aging in reverse. His jiu-jitsu is next level. You can get freaking Glover Teixeira by sub at +350. Are you kidding me?
I love that. That's free.
Are you kidding me? Have you seen Yuri's last loss? Have you seen it? Did you see what it was?
No.
When he got slept by King Mo?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yuri doing the same stuff he always does, running around with his hands down, moving his head around, charging forward. And guess what? Mo planted the feet, shot the right hand, and crushed him.
Yeah.
Crushed him. Do you explain to me how on God's green earth you think something different is going to happen on Saturday night? Why does Glover need to evolve to make that happen again? He has great hands. He literally needs to survive the kicks and the jumping knees of Yuri. And if he can do that for 7.5 minutes, he's going to choke him unconscious or send him to the shadow realm. Glover Teixeira is not to be trifled with, and he's going to win on Saturday night, dude.
No, you're right. No, you're right. In that, I was going hard in the paint in your boxing comment, which I still agree with my own point. I will say I hate Yuri's striking. It's unorthodox. He looks like Zorro out there. He's just constantly with that left hand doing this weird, trying to make an X. Yeah, whatever that shit is. And I will say this, Dale. I don't know if it's a religious thing or whatever, but unique hair like he has poses a threat, dude. It's kind of we talked about Davison Figueroa with a stripe in his hair. Now that's manufactured, but the way that Yuri has his hair, there's something we need to talk about there. It is scary.
It's just, it's like the samurai code Bushido thing. And it's, to be honest, you're where's Yuri from? Poland? Russia? You're not samurai, bro. You can live the way of the samurai, but you're not samurai. You're not samurai.
Nah.
Return
from the Czech Republic.
Return to your people, bro. Cut your hair. Stop being fucking stupid. Your grandfather didn't die and bleed out in the mud for you to wear your hair like a fucking Bushido samurai, bro. That's not what he did that for. Fucking go back to your people, man.
Give the sword back, you bitch.
Yeah, that's not you, man. Golly, man.
Yeah. All right. So we're taking Glover by sub. Juicing this thing from 175 to +300.
Yeah, sure. I'll take Glover money line and buy sub at +350. And then look, here's how you win this fight. Here's how you win. You take, hold on, let me pull this shit up.
You're looking at that, I want the people to know Yuri, because we're so enamored by what he did with Dominic Reyes. Go back and watch his old fights, dude. The guy has no cardio. We saw him put on a dominant display with Dominic Reyes in that first one, going into like 2.5-ish rounds. But go back and watch him. He blew his load time and time again. This is a title fight. This is in a different country. There's so many different factors that are going to make that cardio tank drain just organically without him actually doing output. And when he does that stupid Zorro outside jab bullshit, and you have someone that's going to be doing just overhand lefts and constantly threaten the takedown, that cardio tank's going fucking done, dude. On E.
To an outside perspective, it sounds like we don't like Jiří Procházka. That's not the case at all. I actually really like the guy a lot. I just don't.
Why?
I just don't like him against Glover. I loved him against Dom Reyes. We hammered him against Reyes.
Why don't we like him?
I said from an outside perspective, it would sound like we don't like Jiří because we're just talking shit on him. But it's at the sake to hype up Glover.
Well, yeah, I don't like his haircut. I'd like to talk to him about that. I don't like my hair right now. I look like some type of leprechaun. But
you look like you're going to sell me something that I'm eventually going to be pissed that I bought.
I don't know, dude. I don't know what this wave is right now.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Like with that, can you go straight back with it, or does it have
to be? I can, but then it looks like I'm bald and I've got a big forehead, which I don't want the people to see. Look at that. It looks like I'm like the Brain from Pinky and the Brain.
No, I actually think that's better than the current flop.
Really?
It's different. It looks like a wave. It kind of looks like,
you know what I like about your hair is just consistency. It's just consistency.
I do what I can, man.
Except for when you shaved it, then I was scared for my life.
Well, that's how I used to wear it for the longest time, and then I just, you know, everybody was so pissed off and sent me weird messages and you saying shit like that. I was like, well, I might as well just grow out a little bit, I guess.
No, it's badass. Like, the cool thing is no one's gonna mess with your family, you know what I mean? Yeah,
well, that'd be fucking stupid to begin with. Anyway, Jiří by KO, TKO, -125.
What's the point?
Well, the point is that if you're undecided on how you want to play this fight, you can play Jiří at a unit cost that will cover any loss if Glover wins. And then you play Glover at plus money at smaller units. So if Glover wins, you cover the loss on the Jiří play. You literally play both sides of the coin. Your profit is smaller, but it's guaranteed money. The only problem that you would run into would be Jiří by submission or Jiří by unanimous decision, which that just doesn't seem likely at all.
No.
So, all right. Prelims. I know you're excited about prelims. You're a big prelim guy, right?
Well, it's more so the names. I'm excited for you to start to pronunciate some of these bad boys.
Yeah, man. Ramona Pascual taking on Jocelyn Edwards. Edwards at 10-4. Pascual at 6-3. Ramona is at the underdog spot here, and she's coming in at a +145, +150. Depends on where you're at. Jocelyn Edwards -160, -163. Over on rounds is at 2.5. I want to lean into women's science here, but Ramona's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, she's really bad.
She's a big girl, though.
She's big.
But you know what I like about Ramona, dude, is she's smart with her big girls.
Is she?
Ramona Pascual, Ramona pressure fuck. That's what she does. Wow. Not true.
Oh, go ahead.
It's absolutely true.
I didn't say not true.
She will bull rush you. She will clinch heavy, and she will try and lay and rain down some elbows. The problem is, if she's not able to shoot in and get that takedown, people piece her apart because she has no technical ability standing. Jocelyn, why this makes it really enticing, why I also want to lean into Ramona here, is Jocelyn is someone who accepts the takedown. And she doesn't, and she thinks she's good at jiu-jitsu, but she's not good at jiu-jitsu. So you're going to have someone that thinks they're overtly confident in the jiu-jitsu realm and doesn't really, I don't think she has any submissions to her name, producer Jake or Dale, correct me otherwise. And you've got someone that loves to kind of hang out in that half guard position, rain down elbows. I'm going with Ramona all day long, +143.
She's got two wins by submission, both via arm bar. My thing with Jocelyn Edwards is her belly button is very strange. Very strange. It looks like
pre-pierced?
No, it looks like a little small wiener hanging out of her belly.
Oh, she's got an outie.
It's real big, real thick and meaty. It's gross. It's like her twin that she ate in utero, and it's like the heel sticking out. It's a very gross belly button.
That's intimidating. It's kind of hot.
Huh?
I mean, it's intimidating. It gets my penile glands.
Oh my gosh, bro. It's so gross. Ramona, fight IQ, not good at all. I understand the pressure aspect. I understand the idea of her being a sub threat. She looked so bad in her last fight, though, man. Her cardio was terrible. Her hands are laughable. They're almost forgotten. I really think that Jocelyn Edwards, if she can keep this fight standing, is going to beat the shit out of Ramona.
Oh no.
I really do. I want to take women's science here. I don't know. Maybe Octagon Jitters got to Ramona the first time. I'm not sure, man. I don't feel confident in it at all, but women's fighting is such a toss-up. It's a literal casino. Mm-hmm. So Josiane Nunez, she dropped a unanimous, not close decision to Josiane Nunez. Oh man. I feel like we got to fade women's science here, dude. It just hurts. It hurts to fade the science. I will forego the science on this to cash in on the science on the Valentina fight.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Here's why I think we have a good chance of this hitting is I feel very confident that the UFC did not fork out the money to fly Chris Tonone's bum ass out to Singapore to referee this fight.
Right. Right. Yeah. The singers are going to eat him up.
Dude, if I turn this on at 6:30 and I see Chris Tognoni standing in Singapore in the middle of the octagon, I'm going to lose it.
What would you say to Chris Tognoni if you just saw him in the street?
I wouldn't be rude. I wouldn't be rude.
You wouldn't be rude.
I wouldn't be rude. But I given the opportunity, like I wouldn't, if there was a forum in which I could tell Chris Tognoni that I don't appreciate his style of officiating, and do so in like a manner where it didn't catch him off guard.
Yeah.
I would absolutely take the opportunity. Like if they had like a officiating forum where journalists could provide feedback, I would absolutely bring his entire encyclopedia of fights into question and be like, let's talk about every one of these.
Are you like, you're like a reviewer type guy?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like the guy that like will do a product review on a product he receives, or like has a call with Verizon at the end. They're like, "Will you take a 2-minute survey?" Like, do you take the surveys?
I never do that.
No, oh,
okay. I literally never do that. I never review anything.
But you go out of your way to review Chris Tognoni.
If I knew it, he was going to receive the feedback directly, yes. But I also wouldn't like approach him in a bar and be like, "Hey, Chris, you fucking suck." I wouldn't do that. I'm just that's not my vibe. I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me. I wouldn't
do it. I'd do it. I would jump in front of him and I would be like, Chris, let them bleed, dude. Let them bleed. You know?
Yeah. Keith says Dale strikes me as a big Yelper. I use Yelp in essence to find places to eat, but I've never written a review on Yelp ever. Scouts on it. Scouts on it.
I've never done it either.
Yeah. I would use Yelp more. I would write on Yelp if I could reply to other people's reviews. Well, that's what I want to do.
Turn into a novel.
Yeah. Well, like there's a great one for a burger place. It's right down the street from my house. And one of the reviews says, I showed up there 2 minutes after close and they refused to make me a burger and serve me. I guess they don't want my business. 1 star. And I read that and I go, you literally admitted that you showed up after they were closed and then you gave them 1 star because they wouldn't serve you food after they were closed. You're an absolute moron.
Welcome to America.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Austin says, I'd love to tell Herb, I love Herb Dean, but I'd also like to tell him to get out of the way as he's always in the way. 100%. Herb Dean is either nowhere to be found or he's in the way.
Yeah.
He's like a kid. You're literally wondering where your kid's at or you're tripping over them. Yeah. That's how Herb Dean is.
Yeah. He's a source of truth, though. He's a source of truth.
What does that mean?
It means like when there's these large disparities in potential like fuck ups, he becomes like the, I don't know, the the ultimate say of what the wrong and right decision is because of, you know, his tenure.
Okay. I'm going to more with that.
Which is ridiculous because he sucks.
We've talked about this before. Who's your favorite referee?
Oh, dude, you're catching me off guard. I'm too cutwaters deep. It's the guy with the short black hair who always wears the Nikes.
Jaron Lavelle?
No. God, I freaking love him. He's such an awesome ref. Why am I
Asiris Myra?
No, dude.
Keith Peterson.
No, fuck. No nonsense, Keith Peterson. Dude, he's really pale. He's got black short hair. You love him too. Why am I blanking right now? My brain.
Mark Goddard?
No. He's like in shape, dude. Herzog, dude. Yes, thank you, Matt. Jason Herzog. Jesus Christ. Jason Herzog, dude. Look at that. Everyone, dude.
Dude, you literally were like this. It's like I'm like trying to get directions from my wife. The pale guy with Nike shoes.
They all got it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, chat.
I'm sorry. I don't look at Herzog's shoes. Jeez, oh man. He is a fantastic referee, though. He's a fantastic ref. For sure. I won't take anything away from him in that regard. All right. Is it Na Leong?
If you're going to lean into it, lean into it, dude.
Na Leong taking on Sylvania Gomez Juarez. Leong at 19-5. Sylvania Gomez Juarez at 10-4. Producer Jake's got to roll out. Producer Jake, do your thing, bro. We got you from here on out.
Thanks, Producer Jake.
Producer Jake's got a grinder date he just cannot possibly be late for. And he rolled out. Gone. And he's out. Okay. Sylvania Gomez Juarez, last time we saw her, she was getting beat by your girl from the Glitter Factory. And now she's facing first team all violence in Na Leong. Leong's at an underdog spot here. Women's science. First women's science play of the night. We have to, right? Oh. If you literally just got beat by Glitter Factory, you cannot be the favorite in a fight. You can't be.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't appreciate the Glitter Factory. It is a reputable line of work.
Yeah. For sure. World's oldest profession. Well, no, not exotic dancing. No, there's another world's oldest profession. Never mind. Sorry. I did not want to imply.
I'm sick. They're not in parallel. Na Leong, dude. I'm actually shocked, dude. I thought she was going to be a heavy, heavy favorite here. This, like you said, first team all violence in front of a hometown crowd. Like, this is what's going to get the people going, dude. This is a girl that comes in, throws with ill intent, just fucking for the fences, versus Silva Gomez is going to be someone that's also going to – she's notorious for taking a punch and then giving a punch. So you're putting two people in here, one who loves to throw and bite down the mouthpiece, plus someone who doesn't give a shit about getting clipped in the face and then giving one out. Huh. Amazing, dude. Plus 135, Na Leong, dude. I'm all about it.
I don't know if this is a hometown fight for her. It is
for sure.
Why do you say that?
Because that's where she's from. Yes, she is.
You know, Singapore and China are the same thing, right?
Yeah, she's from Singapore.
You sure?
Yeah.
You want to die on that hill?
I will today. She's from Singapore. I think she is.
All right.
Is she from Singapore?
Nope.
Are you serious?
Yep.
No way.
I am.
Wow. From China?
Yep.
Nah. Yep.
She's no.
Get
that's
it?
That's in Okinawa. That's in Japan.
Nah.
Yeah. She's from Heilongjiang, China, not Singapore. Yeah, that's where she's fighting out of. It's all right, though, man. You tried.
Fuck.
You did a great job, man.
Ha, nah.
Oh, no. Leong, no. Keith says, do you also want to not recognize Taiwan as a nation state, Trey?
As a nation state? Dale, back me up here, dude.
I'm not touching Taiwan. I'm not touching any of that. I don't care about foreign affairs at all. If it's not in the U.S., I don't care about it. Except for Australia.
Good damn American.
If you don't speak English, I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, I don't know enough about. Oh, boy. This chat's getting spicy. We're not going to say that. All right. Dragon Girl is going to get the win here. Gomez, come on, bro. You literally just got beat by Vanessa Demopoulos. You cannot be a minus 155 favorite here. Let me give me some Dragon Girl action. Just give me some Dragon Girl action, right?
Man, is that her nickname?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh boy, the wheels are coming off. All right. Kyungyo Kang taking on Dana Baderjal. Baderjal at 12-3, Kyungyo Kang at 17-9. Thank you for the ticker update there. Overrunner on rounds at 2.5. Deny at a minus 130. Kyungyo Kang plus 110. We're on Baderjal right here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a dead animal. He wears a dead animal hat.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If any sort of dead animal, you're my Huckleberry. I got you. Deny's it, right?
Yeah, for sure.
In defense of Kyungyo Kang, very handsome. Handsome guy. Good looking dude. But Deny Baderjal is going to beat the shit out of him.
I love it. I love it.
That's my super technical breakdown.
All right, let's go to the next fight.
real quick. I do think, though, that if you're looking at a guy like Kyungyo Kang, coming off a loss to Ronnie Yahya should let you know where he's at in life right now, right? Like, wins over Brandon Davis and Teruto Ishihara, Guido Canetti, Michinori Tanaka. Not great W's, if we're being honest. Baderjal, on the other hand, a loss to Chris Gutierrez, who's really on a tear right now, but also went over Brandon Davis, your boy Kevin Natividad, and Guido Canetti. So a lot of mutual opponents here, but the losses have come to Arichi Lang and Chris Gutierrez, who, in my opinion, are better, and he probably learned a little bit more in those losses than Kyungyo Kang has in his losses. I don't think he learned much from getting beat by Ronnie Yahya over the course of three rounds. So dead animal hat, Dana Baderjal, minus 130. We're letting that one rip.
Yeah, make it great.
Cool. All right. Andre Filho taking on Jake Matthews. Matthews at 17-5. Andre Filho at 16-4. We have Filho as the favorite here. Minus 150 taking on Matthews at a plus 130. Overrunner on rounds at 2.5. All the momentum, Trey, is on Filho's side right now. All of it.
Right.
But trains do have to stop at a certain point. Right? Like, momentum does have to run out. I think it runs out against Jake Matthews.
Yeah, dude. Is that because the run it back, boys? Is that why?
Mm-mm. Not at all. I think Jake Matthews has faced better quality competition. I think Filho is prone to being taken down. And when Jake Matthews wants to wrestle, he can wrestle like a poor man's Khabib against opponents that have no takedown defense. And Filho can be taken down. If Michelle Pereira can take you down, Jake Matthews can take you down.
I don't know if I agree with the quality of competition thing, though, because Jake Matthews, outside of Sean Brady, like, you know, you look at Andre Filho, he's faced Miguel Baeza, Michelle Pereira, like you just said. He has a relatively decent resume as well. Andre Filho, I think, has been around the game a little bit longer. He presents a little bit more of a well-rounded game. I think Jake Matthews is still super raw, dude. He's super raw.
I think that's a misconception. I'm not trying to correct you. I think that's a misconception. You have Jake Matthews. He's literally been fighting in the UFC since 2014. You're coming up on 10 years in the promotion. Why
is it seems so shorter?
Right. Because he came in as a baby. He came in as a baby. Quality wins over Johnny Case, Bojan Volkacic at Team Elevation, Ling Jiliang, and wins over Emil Weber-Meek and Diego Sanchez. Losses to Sean Brady, Anthony Rocco Martin, Kevin Lee, and James Vick when James Vick was pretty decent there for a while. I know. Listen, you can hate on all you want, but there was a time where James Vick was actually pretty good.
No, James Vick was good at boxing, and fucking Jake Matthews got subbed via guillotine.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
He had those long arms, bro.
Dude, James Vick has the worst tattoo you can get. He has the fucking ball sack of boxing gloves on his right calf. Yeah. That's what he lives and dies by. And you're getting subbed by him? Absolutely not.
Yeah. I just think Jake Matthews, if he can avoid getting clipped, I think he's got all the tools to win this fight. Yeah. Is this a must play for me? No. No. Am I sitting here going, oh, I love Jake Matthews in this spot? Also, no. Andre Filho by KO or TKO sub is probably a decent play. You probably get that at plus 210, maybe. I can look it up real quick if you want to camp on it. But
I kind of like it.
I think that's probably his path to victory. I don't see him winning it over three rounds. Let's see here. See if I can find a line for it.
I like that. I just don't like Jake Matthews.
I know you don't.
This is going to sound super fucked up, but I feel like Aussies have been soft as of recently.
Filho inside the distance is at plus 110.
I like it. I'm going to take Filho here, dude.
Okay.
Sorry.
I mean, I guess for the sake of picking, yeah, sure. But I mean, it's not something I'm loving here.
Oh yeah, I'm loving it.
You're loving those cutwaters. All right, Steve Garcia versus Hysier Mahashat. I think I'm just going to lean with that.
I'm going to let you go with this one because I don't know either of these cats, dude. Cool. And I don't take notes ever.
I know you don't. Steve Garcia, basically, I mean, honestly, the last time we saw him out, beat the hell out of that Charlie Ontiveros, but we've already established that Charlie Ontiveros doesn't really it looks like a cartoon character, doesn't belong in the UFC. Lost to Luis Pena. You should like Steve Garcia because he's an LFA guy. But, you know, really outside of that, he's taken on Hysier, who I admittedly know nothing about. Only thing I'm going to say to this is that Mahashat is a Dana White Contender Series guy. So to me, he's a fade.
Ooh. So
Steve Garcia, minus 170 against a Dana White Contender Series person, I'll take him. There is no sound logic to it other than that.
Okay.
Sungwoo Choi taking on Josh Koulibaly. Sungwoo Choi at 10-4. Josh Koulibaly at 9-1-1. Choi to minus 230, taking on Koulibaly here to plus 195 over in rounds at 2.5. I like Sungwoo Choi. I like him. Koulibaly looks good at times, but he's one of those guys that seems to be without a real weight class. His body just can't figure out whether he wants to be big or little. Sungwoo Choi is pretty dialed in. My man is physically fit. He's long and strong and bound to get some friction on. I think Sungwoo Choi gets done here. I like this fight to end inside the distance, actually.
Yeah, I think with Sungwoo Choi, he's got that like Muay Thai style and a high cardio tank. So that's someone that's going to come in and be able to exercise a lot of like volume output versus Josh Koulibaly. He thinks about his shots a little less of an output. But I will say he's got a well-rounded game. I just feel like, you know, call me whatever you want to call me. Hometown fight here, though, bro. High output, good cardio tank. Not hometown fight.
Still not a hometown fight. Sungwoo Choi.
Is there anyone on this card that's a hometown fight?
Nope.
No way.
I'm dead serious.
So all these fighters are traveling over there doing these crazy weight cuts, and no one's getting a hometown fight?
Well, they're not really traveling over there. I mean, some of these people are from China, which is pretty close. And then in instances here, like with Sungwoo Choi, he's from Korea, which is a little bit further away, but still very close.
I don't get it. I don't get it, dude.
Just, it's a map. They're the crazy things. You just grab a map and you find where Singapore's at and you see that it's not China.
All right, whatever. Let's take Sungwoo Choi.
There you go. All right. And then featured prelim of the evening, Brendan Allen taking on Jacob Malkoon. Malkoon at 6-1. Brendan Allen at 18-5. Probably, this is a weird spot, right? Brendan Allen's minus 305. Jacob Malkoon plus 255. Jacob Malkoon, training partner of Robert Whittaker. I believe he's Whittaker's jiu-jitsu coach or something like that.
Whittaker, the only reason he's ever been in the UFC.
Whittaker was supposed to be on this card because he was going to fight Vettori, and they pushed that. But yet Malcoon stays on the card. Malcoon looked good last time out. Court McGee, workman-like performance, just came in with the lunchbox and just went to work as far as just out cardio. And we I think we went against him and lost money there because he got beat at the Fight Island card. He got knocked out immediately by somebody. I can't remember who. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, maybe? Knocked him out? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He came out, looked better his next fight. Brendan Allen plus 305. So Brendan Allen should have better hands. Brendan Allen should probably have better submissions, but I think that Jacob Malcoon will have better wrestling here. Malcoon. Wow. Yeah. Brendan Allen is... No, I don't think so. I think Brendan Allen is content to try to fight off his back if he's in a disadvantaged position because he thinks he's got good good jiu-jitsu, where Jacob Malcoon won't really, you know, be dumb enough to get caught by anything Brendan Allen's throwing up off his back. I think Brendan Allen should win this fight, but at minus 305, I don't really see the value there unless you like him inside the distance or by knockout, because we've seen Malcoon can be slept. And then if you're on Malcoon, if you're going to take a money line and take him by decision, because I can see him grinding out another submission as well. Submission's got to be huge money.
I'm just not on the Malcoon train. I like Brendan Allen's game. I think outside of him liking to fight off his back, he's also someone that will like put his head on someone's hip and kind of just hold that position up against the cage and just get a lot of control time while kind of doing those little, you know, overhand rights to show some output. He's savvy on the feet when he needs to be. He's just a very meat and potatoes everywhere. So I'm taking Allen, but I'm not really taking him because there's no value.
Allen by KO TKO is at plus 350. Allen, let's see here.
TKO sub.
Allen inside the distance is at plus 105. Malcoon money line is what it is, but Malcoon by decision is at plus 800.
Yeah, I'd rather go like TKO sub Allen, make it a little safer.
Okay, plus 105 for that.
Yeah,
but we can't put a quarter of a unit on Malcoon by decision.
No,
it's plus 800.
He's Australian.
So what?
I know.
We're putting it on the card. We're putting it on. Small prop, small sprinkle. Malcoon. No,
it's not going to be on the slip.
Yes, it is. Malcoon. All right. Well, if it's not on the slip, it'll be on our betmma.tips profile, which if you guys don't follow all of our bets, if you want to see our unit plays in association to the plays that we make on Saturday, you can do so by following us on betmma.tips. Just search Punchlist MMA Podcast on there. You can follow us along or follow along with us there, and you can see our unit plays as we third-party track all of our stuff. We also update our record, just the record itself, on our Instagram profile. If you don't follow us on Instagram, you can do so at Punchlist MMA. Twitter, Punchlist MMA. Shoot us an email if you want to do that, chat at Punchlist MMA. We have got currently, as it stands right now, three cappers tentatively scheduled in for the upcoming events that we'll be bringing on to help break down a few fights. We'll also, once we get unshadow banned, we'll be start doing some Instagram live stuff again with you guys. We just can't seem to stay in the good graces of the church as far as that's concerned. Anything else, Trey?
It's insanity, guys, by the way. Follow us on Instagram. Our downloads for this episode will be more than the people that follow us on Instagram.
Facts.
That is shocking.
It's a big just fact.
Go on Instagram. We don't post anything sexy. You're not going to get anything from it, but it's going to help us. You are going to get our plays, which we went 9-1 on last week. Just follow us on Instagram.
Be self-serving for a second. Explain why it's important. Because if you follow us, the larger we can show that our reach is, right? Like if we get more, if you give us more thumbs up on the videos, it helps it. It helps the YouTube algorithm.
Yeah.
Then it gets more views. If you follow us on Instagram or Twitter, we get more followers. If we can show that we have a more diverse reach, right? Because we can go and we say, hey, so many thousands of downloads we get, but we only get 200 views on YouTube. And then we have a couple thousand followers on Instagram or whatever the case may be. When we try to, like, truthfully, we want to reach out to like Cutwater and have like, if we're at 50,000, we're undeniable, right? Mm-hmm. 3,000, we're deniable. That's what it is. Self-serving. Help us make more money. Help us do this, right?
Guys, yeah. Help us. Help us. Fucking help us.
Austin says, more important, what's the update on the new shirt? The new shirt that's coming out will be the Caucus Mountain Warrior t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Do you want to post the design for it this week?
Possibly. I'm going on vacation, by the way.
Oh, that's right. You're going to Hawaii in 2 days. You'll be gone for a week.
9 days.
9 days. All right. But you're still going to record on Tuesday.
Yes. With okay. Mai Tai in hand and obliterated. Like, you're getting 2-cell brain tray. Gotcha. Kind of like what you're getting right now.
Perfect. All right. So we'll get with Roy, get a timeline. Once we get the timeline, we'll post the design. But yep. Know that the next shirt that's coming out is the Caucus Mountain Warrior t-shirt.
Yee.
Yeah. All right. So anything else for the people?
You know, just an always ending bang bang.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.